Great. How are you all doing? All right, so I need encouragement, okay? All right, so just imagine this is Pastor Joe standing here, all right? And do all you normally do, you know? Shout when you're meant to shout, encourage when you're meant to encourage, and clap when you're meant to clap. And what most importantly, open your ears, and I believe that God is going to bless us today. Amen. Father, we just thank you for today. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you adoration. We thank you for bringing us together as a family once more. Father, we thank you as the word comes forth today. Father, your word says the entrance of your word gives light. Father, it gives illumination. Father, we declare that your word will give illumination. It will give direction to our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, as I speak today, let my lips be like a pen of a ready writer. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Can I get some water, please? Today, I've just been thinking about, I've actually changed what I wanted to share twice, you know? And I was like, oh, God, I want to share something, and I just felt probably that wasn't the right one. And I thought about it again, and God placed this in my heart today. Today, I'm going to be sharing about changing position and your location. Amen. So basically, we're talking about position and location, and we're talking about how to change your position and how to change your location. Amen. You know, just the normal way we start, we always want to have a definition about what we're talking about. And I'm sure as English students, everyone would have done English, you know, through your primary school, high school, and something like that, you know. So we all know this definition. But at times, some of these words are used interchangeably. Position means a place where someone or something is located or has been put. Amen. So yes, that's where your Bible is, and that's the position of your Bible. While location means a place or a position, right? My location is Avely. I live in Avely. And so you say, where is Patrick located? He's located where? At Avely. Where are you located? I think you're located at Ellenbrook. So there is always a location and a position for everyone sitting here. So what does it mean to change position and location? Like I said, English students, we put both together, and that gives us a definition. So for me, I say it means moving away from a place where someone or something is located to a different place. So you're moving it away. I'm moving your Bible away to somewhere else. Amen. And that's what it means today. So now we've all have the idea of what it means. And I'm sure you start thinking about where we're going to today. And the good thing is, it's Christmas period. Amen. You know, it's Christmas period. And the book has already shared a little bit about Christmas. But one thing I've known is that with this Christmas will actually lead us into what I really want to talk about. But one thing about me also is I am excited about Christmas. I don't know about you, I am excited. You know, at work, somebody was asking me, oh, what's the plan for Christmas? What are you guys preparing? What are you guys going to eat? And I just felt, oh, I think that's the right time to share. So I said, oh, yeah. Well, Christmas to me is not really about eating, you know, but Christmas to me, it's about celebrating the birth of Christ. I just look for a place to just chip down and say, ah, really? I said, yes. Although food is going to be part of it. I love my food. But it's more or less like celebrating the birth of Christ. And that's why I celebrate. And I told her, like, some people don't really get the reason for Christmas. So what? I've already shared. I just dropped something into the life of that person at that moment. So when they're asking me, and somebody else was also saying, oh, how are you celebrating? Oh, somebody said, oh, you're a religious person, right? I said, yeah, it's not about religion. It's about celebrating the birth of Christ. So everyone is talking about Christ, Christmas, this period. And it's good for us to understand that, you know, what it is all about. Also yesterday, I think the community was also celebrating something in Ellenbrook. And I went and I saw most of these people here, but they didn't see me. I saw everyone from behind, and I saw you guys there. So it was good, you know, coming together to celebrate, you know. And the part I really enjoyed most was there was a church called Kingdom City. And I was telling my wife, I said, wow, what a way to evangelize. They wore their T-shirts, and I didn't even know who they were. So trust me, and I said, oh, you guys got Jesus on your T-shirt. I didn't even know they were in church then, so I just wanted to engage in a conversation. When my daughter wanted to do her face painting, I said, oh, I love your boldness, you know, and I love the way you guys do it. I said, do you want to see what's behind my shirt? And she showed it to me. I said, that's awesome. It's a good way to evangelize Christ. But later on, I found out that they were actually in church, you know. But it was awesome, and they were sharing about Christ. They did this drama, trying to, you know, mixing it up with different ways, you know. And to me, I felt somebody would have been blessed there. You know, they did it in a way that they could actually reach out to somebody. And to me, I always say the same thing. If Christ was here today, if he's going to put on his shirt to speak to somebody, he's going to put on his shirt. If he's going to put on his rugged jeans, he's going to do the same thing. And that's what Christ is all about. But going further, you know, is when the enemy actually from the beginning knew the reason for Christmas. And guess what he wanted to do? He actually wanted to destroy it. And I'm sure you all know that. Guess who is the first person that wanted to destroy it? King Herod. You know what he told the wise men? You know, a very, very smart man. He said, well, when you find him, come and tell me so I can go and worship him. Oh, my God. The enemy is always looking for a way to get us. Always. But thank God for God. And God told them, don't go back. God appeared to them and said, don't go back. You know? So that was the first time we are here today because Christ was born. But secondly, you know, Herod didn't give up, just like the enemy would do. He will never give up. He will try whatever he wants to try. And you know what he did next time? He said, let's kill every child under two, every male child under two. And that's what he wanted to do. But you know what was, you know what was awesome again? Christ, God also had another plan. And what he appeared to Joseph and Mary and said, well, get up. And take your time, you take yourself and go to the land of Egypt. And they were there. And guess what? We're all here today. Why? Because of the Christ was born. We're all here. If Christ wasn't born, you and I wouldn't have been here. So it's just so awesome for us to celebrate Christmas. And without Christmas, like I said earlier, we wouldn't be here. You know, Jesus had to be born to take away the sin. Amen. And then the question when people are saying, what does Christmas have to do with changing location? John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, which we all know the scripture. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but do what? Have everlasting life. And I say, Jesus had to be born, I wrote here, to take away the sins in order for the process of change to occur. If Jesus wasn't born, the process of change, which I'm about to talk about, wouldn't occur. It wouldn't even just be there. You know, Colossians 1 verse 13 says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his what? Dear son. So you can see where that location and position started from. He translated us from what? The kingdom of darkness into what? The kingdom of light. So what would you say that happened? You know, if I ask somebody, you'll tell me, well, that was a movement. Hallelujah. So they moved from the kingdom of darkness. So they changed destination. God wanted us to change destination. And moved us from that destination into where he wanted us to be. And moved us into the destination where he felt was the right place to be. And that's what? To the kingdom of his what? Dear son. You know, making that decision to accept Christ automatically changes your position also. It didn't only change your destination like it did, but it also changed your position. Someone will be asking, how has that changed my position? It's changed your position spiritually. So you were in the position whereby you were lost. You were in the position whereby you didn't even know what was right. You were in the position whereby you were living in sin. But when immediately Christ came in, he changed your position. He did both of them together. Oh, I love this Christ. Amen, somebody. You know, he did both of them together. And that's why, like I said earlier on, we're all here. And you know, there are other parts of the Bible that also talks about changing location and changing position. I'll go through some of them quickly with us. And we'll be able to understand more what this is all about. If we open our Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Okay, it's on the screen already. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out unto the land, unto that land, unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. Verse 9. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptian oppresses them. Verse 10. Let's continue reading. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Amen. You know, how many of us remember this story? You know, in the Sunday school story, Moses, this was about Moses. And you know, in that instance, if you read the beginning, Moses was in the land of Midian, and he was there, you know, taking care of the flock. And suddenly he saw something miraculous. I love, you know, most of you know I love these supernatural movies. And my wife has already joined. So we are watching all those things together now. Amen. So it was something supernatural that was happening to him then, which he didn't know. He saw a bush burning. And he wanted to say, what's this bush burning that, you know, he could see fire, but the bush, the grass was not burning itself. I was like, what's that happening? And he went along and, you know, he wanted to see what was happening. But in this story, imagine, let's go back to the story of Moses. You know, when Moses was born, you know, they put him into a basket just to, you know, avoid being killed. And the daughter of Pharaoh found him. And the Moses' sister was actually watching at that moment. And guess what she did? He actually went to ask and said, well, oh, I've got somebody who will be able to help you. And actually went to get the mother to actually take care of the same child. I'm going to a point here. You know, imagine also Moses growing up as a prince in the land. And, you know, he was doing well, you know, at the top, enjoying life. And suddenly, you know, he actually killed an Egyptian, which we all know that story. And he felt, you know, it was done in secret. And, you know, at times, most of us, we actually do some things in secret. But we don't know that our God actually sees us. And people may actually see you. You know, as Christians at times, you know, when you've actually proclaimed as a Christian, you just have to keep yourself. Not pretend. It's just going to come out of you anyway. I just digress there. So what then happened was, that happened and he had to flee the land of Egypt and went to another land. And so you might think about it this way. Somebody who was a prince, like I said earlier on, who was a somebody, and suddenly became what? A nobody. You could actually talk about Moses that way. Somebody who could say, well, Raj, I need you to get me that. You know, Christine, I need you to clean my shoes. You know what I mean? You know, this is a prince. You know, he had that command that he could actually do some of those things. But his life changed. Not only that his life changed, his location changed because he had to move away. And guess what? His position also changed, which I've already explained to you. And that's how life is at times, sometimes to us, at times. And so when God was speaking to him and said, well, I want you to go and do this. I want you to go and deliver my people from Israel. Amen. So I want you to deliver my people from Egypt because I have good plans for them. You know, he talks about large, a big place for them. And if I was in Moses' shoes, Moses gave lots of excuses. I would have done the same thing too. Because where do you want me to go back? You know, a place where I was in charge. And you want me to go back? You want me to become a laughing stock? Come on, you know? But God didn't really care. God doesn't care. God said, you have to do it. He said, but I can't speak. I can't do everything. God still gave him everything that he wanted. And God showed him what? A sign. No. One thing I want us to know is that put yourself in the shoe. Imagine, basically, he's going to start life all over again. He's moved away from where he was and started life in a different location. He's got married, he's got kids, and he's already gotten used to his new life, and he was doing whatever he wanted to do. But suddenly, God wanted to disrupt his life again. That's the right word to use. God, like, I said, well, I'm taking you back to that place. Oh, my God. You know? And I'm sure that's what Moses was thinking then. But guess what? He actually did it. You know? But the point here from this scripture I'm just sharing was that if God has a plan for you, it doesn't matter where your location or where you think you settled in or where you think your position is, God will do it. He will do it. You think you've arrived. God doesn't look at whether you've arrived. God doesn't look whether you are the best in your class. God doesn't look at whether you are the boss at work. If God has a mission for you, he's going to do it. And guess what? You have to do it. You know, you find people saying, oh, God told me to do this, and I didn't do it, and my life was never straight. You know? God, things like that happened to that. But Moses did it, and he obeyed. And guess what happened? The people of what? Israel were freed. You know? They were freed from a land whereby they were being tormented. They were free from a land whereby, you know, things were not working out for them. They were free from a land whereby the taskmasters would tell them what to do. They were free from sorrows, but what God actually took them to a different world destination. And I love the way God talked about the destination here. He said, I will take them onto a land that is good land. Amen. Say a good land and a large land. You know, if you look at large could mean, you know, abundance. So I'm going to take them away from there and I'm going to put them into the right place. And guess what? They were actually taken into that right place. And all the whole years, I think about 400 years or how many years, I can't remember. No, probably not. I'm not sure about the number of you, but they spent so many years there. Some of them didn't even remember where they came from. Some of them didn't even remember what the land of Israel looked like. But God still changed them. It took forever, but God still did it. My point here to us today is you might be in a situation whereby you felt, well, oh my God, what's happening to my life? What's happening? God will always come true. It will seem as if it's not happening, but God will always come true. And that's the point I want to point out today. He will come and change your position and put you into a place whereby he has ordained you to be. It could take forever, but he will always come true. And that's one of the story of Moses. The other scripture I want to share with us today is from the book of Mark chapter 4, from verse 35 to 39. And the same day when the even was come, from verse 35, he said unto them, let us pass unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him in other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of that ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Popular story. Well, I'm sure you're thinking, where am I going to today? The part I want to focus here will be on verse 35. How many of us remember the story? You know, Jesus had just finished, you know, sharing, you know, giving the parables, you know, of the seed, you know, and, you know, how they fell along the way. You know, we all know that story, you know. And in this case, you know, say, let us go over to the other side. Going over to the other side to me means changing what? Location. It means what? Changing destination. And that's what it means. And if you look at what has happened there, you know, this was whereby you could say, well, Jesus had just finished a big crusade. That's what I'm putting it in. And he was happy, you know, things were going well, you know. Even in the ship, in the ship, we could compare the ship with our lives now, whereby they were relaxed. I guess probably there were wines, you know. Jesus had all this entourage following him, because the Bible said there were little ships following them, you know, with him. And things were moving smoothly, you know, even while they were changing their location. But here you see, you know, like I said, when everything was working well and they were happy. But the point I really want to say here is, when the storm started, you know, these things started happening, and they went to Jesus, and Jesus was asleep. You know, like, is this guy for real? You know, you've got all these powers to change us. You've got all this power to stop all this, and you're sleeping. We are all scared of our lives. You know, something could happen. And Jesus was still sleeping. He was asking, sleeping. And we've got people like that in the real life, whereby if a fire is burning in their house, some people would, you know, some people can't sleep, you know. Some of you know yourself, so let's not point out, you know, fingers. You can't sleep, you know, but I don't sleep that deep. You know, if anything happens, I will know what's happening. If they open the door, I will know what happens. But sleeping at that moment, we could interpret it to be something else. Sleeping at that period could be Jesus sleeping. You know, Jesus is termed as the Word of God. Sleeping at that moment could be termed as us, Christians, you know. The Word of God at that moment of our life would be very shallow. The Word of God in our life at that moment would be dormant, whereby the Word of God is actually not taking its place. At that period, the Word of, you know, it's a place in our life whereby we are not even actually studying the Word of God. It's a place that whereby we even study the Word of God, we don't even understand it. It's a place in our life whereby we've gone through situations, and that situation has held us, and we actually don't believe in the Word any longer. And why would I read the Word? And that's what was happening at that moment. You know, like when Jesus was sleeping, the Word was sleeping in our life. It was dormant. We actually don't even have control over the Word of God. We don't even have control to say, Jesus, come in and help me. We've just gotten used to that situation in our lives that it's normal, you know? And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to think it is normal. Just get used to it, you know? You know, I'm poor. That's what God wants me to be. God wants me to be poor. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, it's God's will for me to be sick. I'm going to remain here. You know, those are the kind of thoughts going through our mind. And, you know, when such thoughts keep on going through our mind, we actually can't make a move. You know, we can actually make a move. And the storm will come, which will push us to and fro. You won't even know to say, oh, God, save me. You even know one scripture to use because you've given up, you know, about life. At that moment. But you know, one thing I really love here. Bible says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. What does that mean? It means it's a time whereby, no matter what's happening in our life, it's a time we can still come back to God. It's a time we can say, well, God, I've changed my destination. I've changed my position in you. I've gone to the other way whereby you've told me to go left, I'm going right. It's that time of our life we can say, God, I can't do this any longer. Just come and save me. Just come and help me. You know, come and help me. And that's when Jesus will step into your situation. And that's what Christ did at that moment. He stepped into that situation. Why? Because he said, well, I've sent you to that location. You will arrive in that location. I've sent you to go and share in that place. You will arrive. I've sent you to be, you know, to a light to this world. The devil will not stop you. I will ensure you get there. All I just need for you to do is to come back. Come back to me. I'm here for you. Come back to me. Just repent. I'm always there. I will not use what you've done against you. All I just want is for you to come back. You know, you hear people say, well, can God really forgive me? I used to be with God. I used to be in that destination where, you know, in the kingdom of his son. But now, I'm no longer there. I've killed, you know. I've done this. I've done what, you know, no man can. I can't even tell any man. You know, there's so many things we've done that we can't even tell our brothers. We can't even tell our sisters. We can't even tell our wives. And that's what the devil uses against us. He holds that, you know, against you and say, well, oh, you think you're a Christian. You're not. You know, and that's what he does. But guess what? Jesus was in that boat, and Jesus is in your life today. He's there to change your position back to where he's ordained it to be. You know, brethren, we will always be in that journey every time whereby God will ask us to move. We'll always be in that journey where God will ask us to move. All we just need to do is what? Listen. Listen, listen, and listen. Don't just hold back. Listen, and God himself will actually bring you to that destination and that position. Amen, somebody. Another part of the Bible whereby I've noticed that people change location, you know, and change their position would be from the book of Luke 15, from verse 11 to 24. This is the parable of the lost son. I'm going to read it quickly. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, "Father, give me my share of this estate." So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the young son got together all he had, set off to a distant what? Country. Remember that part. He set off what? From a distant country. And there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was severe famine in that whole country. And he began to be in what? In need. So he went and hired himself out unto a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed what? Pigs. Are you seeing the transformation of what's happening in there? He longed to fill his stomach with pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, you know?'" And he just continued, you know, going there. You can see this story is actually different from the first two stories we've read. What would be the main difference in there? The first two stories we've read, what happened there was that God actually told these people what? To move. God actually told them to change their location, and God actually told them to change their position. But this one here, this guy here was the one who made that decision to change his own location and that position. And most of us are here there at times. We actually decide to be God in our lives. We decide to make decisions, you know, that doesn't agree with God. We decide to change our destination because we feel that's the best place to go. We decide to change our position because we feel, oh, yeah, that's the right thing to do. Yeah, you know one thing about it? Yeah, it could be the right thing to do at that moment. But guess what? If it's not the will of God, you're going to go back to square one. That's what it means here. You know, imagine this guy, you know, who was in the will of God, you know, doing everything God wants him to do. You know, basically, this guy will be who you will say is a perfect Christian, you know, at the beginning. He had all he wanted. God was supplying his needs according to his riches and glory. People want to be in his shoes. But guess what? He felt, well, I need to do more. I think I really need to enjoy myself. Teenagers here, you know, I want you to look at me now. You know, you feel, well, this is time. Yeah, I grew up in church. Well, but I haven't enjoyed what life is all about. Don't let the enemy get you there, you know? And that's what this guy did then. He's like, "Well, I just want to go and enjoy myself." And what he did was, he did it. God allowed him. God wouldn't stop you. You've got your own, you've got your will. You've got, you know, permissive will. You just do whatever you want to do. But what? He went, and guess what? His life was turned upside down. You get what I mean? He was in the will of God, but he was moved into a place whereby he started begging. You know, like we said, it was similar to the same story whereby he was a prince, and now he started begging. The point here is, if you change destination without God leading you, your position will always also change. Do you guys get that? You know, I can see everyone's face is like really down. You know, you guys, just look at me here. If you change destination that doesn't go with the will of God, your position will also change. He was a prince, but now he started begging. He started begging. But one thing about God is always forgiving. He doesn't look at what you've done, like I said earlier on. He doesn't look at, you know, what if you felt you've made the biggest mistake. He was like the father, you know, and when he was coming back, the father said, "I'm going to accept him back." When we have moved away from the will of God and the Spirit of God is speaking to us, we always need to hit back to that, to God's Spirit. We need to hit back. And that's why he got back to his senses. And maybe at that moment he would have said, well, I've not been studying God's word. Let me study God's word. And probably he picked the word of God. And that's where he thought about it. He said, well, I'm here and my father's servants are back home. And they're enjoying. And even what falls from their table could actually feed me better than, you know, eating from the pig. It's the same thing God wants us to do. God wants us to know, like I said earlier on, is that he's happy for us to return back to him anytime. It doesn't matter how long you've been away from him. It doesn't matter how you think your position has changed and you think, well, or you made that decision by yourself. He's always very, very happy to accept you back. And that's why his father saw him from afar off, ran to him and put on a robe, you know, and celebrated and done all the whole celebration and what? Brought him back to Christ, you know, brought him back to himself and celebrated him. Next thing, question I'm asking myself is, why do we need to change our position and our location? Why do we need to change? If it's like a Sunday school here, I would have asked you to raise your hand. There are different reasons why we need to change our position and our location. The most important reason why we need to change our position is to fulfill God's plan for our lives. God has a purpose for everyone. And that first purpose was every one of us accepting Christ and coming to Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. What he has done, he is saying, well, that's my purpose for you. I have chosen you to be able to do this. Jeremiah 29:11, which all of us also know, he said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. They are of good and not of evil, to give you a future and an expected end. What is God saying? I have a future for you, and that's my purpose for you. You know, Proverbs 19:21 also says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. What he's saying, my purpose for you will always stand. But you know what? Even as we've known the purpose of God concerning our life, I will know that where God wants us to be and our location and our position, but there will always be oppositions to that. There will always be opposition. The enemy doesn't want you to get to where God wants you to be. We've said that earlier on. We all know that. We've all gone through different situations that you've been wondering, Lord, why me? How come it's happening to brother A and it's not happening to me? How come it's happening to brother C and it's not happening to me? But guess what? That's what the devil wants you to do when it comes to changing location and position. He's going to put fear in your heart. Well, number one thing is, he's going to put fear into your heart. And that fear wouldn't make you take your destination, change your destination. That fear wouldn't make you decide to change your position because you'll be thinking, can I really do this? Can I achieve this? That's the first thing that's going to come. Another thing that will actually stop us, which will be opposition, from you changing your position to where God wants you to be, is what? Unbelief. Unbelief. God has said it. But is it really true? Does it make sense? God says, give your tithe, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing. How is that possible? You know? And that thought starts coming to our head, you know, as humans, and I say, well, is that really possible? That's unbelief. Another opposition to doing God's will, you know, change your position, is what? Sin. Sin. The devil brings sin across your way. And guess what? It wouldn't even allow you even get to where you want to. It won't even allow you to get to half of where God wants you to be. It won't at all. That's one. And the next, last one I want to talk about will be disobedience. You know? Disobedience will be an opposition to you changing your location and what? Your position. Why? Because we just disobey, generally. You know, there are times where pastor will give certain instructions here in church. And before, once we step out from here, most of us say, well, he's talking about his own stuff. I'm not going to do that. And everyone steps out from here, and they don't do it. Most of us here have done that, you know. He gives instruction. Oh, I encourage you to come to, you know, to prayer meeting, you know. Let's do this. Oh, God, I'm very busy, you know. Disobedience will actually stop us from actually achieving what God wants for us. What happens in the process of changing location and position? Amen. What do you guys think happens when we're in the process of changing location and position? There are different things that will happen, you know. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When we are changing our position, or when we feel God has told us to move to a new place, or God has given us an instruction, God never says it's going to be smooth. He didn't say it's going to be smooth. But one thing is assuring is that while you're walking through that steps, I'm going to be with you. Every way. If you go through fire, I will be with you. You know, if you go through the flood, I will be with you. You know, I'm going to save you. It may seem as if you're in the flood or you're in the fire, but guess what? You won't get burnt. Your body and your soul and everything will be telling you, oh God, I'm going to get burnt. I'm going to get burnt. Or I'm going to drown. But guess what? That's not going to happen. Why? Because what? God is going to be with you and he's going to help you figure it out. He's going to help you figure it out. All you just need to do is what? Listen to him. Amen? Listen to him. It's another thing we really need to do in the process. You remember God gave Moses the instruction. And Moses nearly didn't want to listen, you know. Like, I can't do it. But what he did it. And for the fact that he listened, the children of Israelites were saved. And guess what? And that's why most of us are still here. You know? We are all still here because why? Somebody listened. Listening is always an important thing when God speaks to us. At times people will say, oh, God doesn't speak to me. How can I hear him? He speaks to you through his word. He's speaking to you now. You know, he's speaking to you right now. And I know some people's mind is going to a different place. I want to go home now. When is it going to finish? You know, God is speaking to you now. He's speaking to you about the decision he wants you to make. He's speaking to you about the step he wants you to make at this moment. And one thing God also wants us to know is that he wants us to be confident. The book of Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you, what? Will be what? Will be faithful to complete it. What he's saying is, at this moment, I have told you to make a decision. I've told you to move. I've told you to come and give your life to me, you know? And giving your life to me means, you know, so many things you were doing, you may not do them any longer. But he's saying, well, be confident that I'm going to help you through this situation. He's saying, be confident I'm going to help you get to that destination. He's saying, be confident I'm going to help you what? Get to that what? Position. Amen, somebody. Is somebody getting something here today? Amen? Amen. I can't see here. Is somebody getting something today? Amen. You know? And, you know, like I said, we talk about all this changing your location and changing your position. And some people will say, do I really need to do that? The answer is yes. You really need to do that. You know, it could be in every part of your life, in any part of your life. It could be a decision to change your job. It could be a decision to stay where you are. It could be a decision for you to go and do a missionary work. Or it could be a decision for you to have a new child, you know? You know, it could just be a decision that could just happen. But the main thing is, you really need to do it. If God says it, the answer should be, I will do it. I don't care what's going to be in front of me. I'm going to do it. And we've seen all that through the scripture we've written, that God is always there at every point in time to save us and help us through. But what are the benefits of changing location and position if God tells us to do that? What are the benefits? You know, there are lots of benefits in doing that. For example, I changed my location. I was from Melbourne previously, you know, and I did change my location. It was very hard to do that, but guess what? I did change my location. My plan was I was just going to stay here for 1 year, you know, and I'll go back. But guess what? I'm still here, you know. But if God says it, all you just need to do is to listen. God will always come true and will do more. Amen. God will always come true and do more. And that's one of the benefits. Ask me why. If you remember, if you open to the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 21 to 22, you remember during that period when Moses was trying to get the people of Israel out, so many of them gave up. Why? Because each time Pharaoh would say, I'll let my people go. I'll let your people go. But what? His heart became hardened, and what? He refused to let them go. Right? He refused to let them go. But look at what happened, you know, with persistence, you know, and that's what Moses did. Exodus chapter 3, you know, verse 21 to 22, it says, and I will give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. He's saying it will happen that when you are taking that journey of life, it will happen when you are, you know, walking in God's will and following his step by step, I will not allow you to go empty. Along the line, it may seem, well, you've lost everything. But he's saying, I will not allow you to go empty. Then he says, verse 22, he says, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor. Oh, I love this. And of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And he shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and he shall spoil the Egyptian. What he's saying basically is, all you just need to do at that moment is, or just ask your neighbors, so I need your gold. Give it to me. I need that silver. Just give it to me. And you will go out with it. And he said, you will spoil the Egyptian. You mean you will take everything from them. And you know, and that's a part of the Bible that says, well, say the wealth of the Gentiles, the wealth of the Egyptians, you know, shall be transferred unto us. There's a transference that happened at that moment whereby they asked, they just say, it's like me saying, John, I need your bank card and give me your PIN number and tell me the balance in your account, you know, and I take it from John and I just go to the ATM and I just empty John's account. Or I go to John and say, John, I need $10,000. I just need to do some stuff, you know. And John says, oh, that's easy. And John writes me a check of $10,000 and I go and I get it. And later on, John comes back to me and says, Patrick, you told me you're going to return the $10,000 to me. And I said, well, no, didn't you read the Bible? The Bible says here that, you know, you will favor the Egyptians, you know. Let's assume John wasn't a Christian. Say, I will favor you in the sight of the Egyptians, and you will borrow from every neighbor. I just borrowed from you. I'm doing God's will, you know. John would just call the police for me, you know. Or if it was a martial artist, you know, they would just go in there and just destroy me, you know. But you know what? Spiritually, the good thing about it is that there's benefits. And that benefit will go beyond what your normal expectation is. At times, you know, when God tells us to do certain things, we're already thinking about figuring it out in our head. About, yeah, God told me to do this. Yeah, that means God is going to bless me with this. God is going to do this with me. Don't figure it out. God says, I'm going to favor you. And that favor means you getting the best job that you feel was hard. It will be very difficult at times. You may think so. You know, for so many of us who are in the workplace, you know, you would have been wondering, okay, why can't I get that job? How come that guy who doesn't have that qualification is my boss? You know, you just get some of those things in your head. But guess what? It's a journey. It's a journey. And God says what? I'm going to favor you. And what? They will give it to you, you know. And it's just going to be a surprise to you. Another thing I also want to know is in the book, you know, from 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 5 and 7, you know, in rounding up, it says, then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machah, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And David said unto him, fear not, for I shall surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table. What does that mean? If how many of us know the story of David and Jonathan? Yeah? If you don't know, please just pretend you don't know. Go back home and read. This is another Bible story I remember while I was, you know, young. They were best friends, you know. They told themselves, well, I'm going to be with you in times of trouble. I'm going to be with you when you are in need. And that's what he did. Jonathan, had, you know, they actually even put their life in danger for him. And that's what this happened. Jonathan was. And it seems as if, you know, you've done everything right, but things are not just working. You know, it may be your father, you know, has done something right at the beginning. And it seems your children and your children that are supposed to reap it is not just working, but there is restoration. You know, there is restoration. What happened here? David said, he said, is there anyone remaining in the house of Saul? From nowhere, he just thought about it. Is there anyone remaining in the house of Saul? That's what God is going to do for us. From nowhere, God is just going to remember you. Somebody you feel that, you know, you've lost touch with. God will remember you. There is restoration in the house of God, somebody. there is God does restoration. And guess what? They brought him, you know, he was paralyzed, and he probably was somewhere not living the life of God. But God said, David said, you will eat at my table. Do you know what that means? He's saying, well, you come and become one with me. It's like saying, the prime minister said, well, Patrick, come. You'll be sitting at my table with me. You'll be eating together. You know, you'll be my chief of staff. There is restoration. It doesn't matter what has happened. God will always restore things back to you. You know, forget about the things of the past. God is still in the business of restoration. Amen. And the last thing I want to talk about is there is rest. When God asks you to change your position and destination, there is rest in God. What does rest mean? You know, people talk about rest. Rest means you are in a place whereby things are just, you are not concerned about what's happening with you. You are just concerned with God. Bible says in the book of Matthew 11, 28 to 30, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? Give you rest. Rest in God is different from rest in man. Rest in your riches is different from rest in God. You've seen people who are rich and they are like, oh God, help me, help me. But they don't have that rest. They can't even sleep despite all their riches. But with God, when your rest is in God, it means that things are working right for you. Why? Because you are walking in God's pattern. You are walking in God's where God has told you to move to. You have decided to change your position for the good, and God says, I'm going to be with you. I don't care where you are, but I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to ensure that you live a life of rest. And he said, for my yoke is easier, my burden is light. He's saying, well, you think your burden is big. You think, oh, the weight of the world is too big. You think, oh, my marriage is not working well. You just think that things are not just working. My finances are not working well. But what he's saying, well, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What he's saying, just exchange. Let's exchange. That's what he's saying. Let's exchange. Give me yours and I'll give you mine. That's what Christ is saying. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. God wants us to change our position. He wants us to what? Change our location. And doing that is not just you doing it physically, but doing that in accordance to his word. Doing that when he instructs you. Amen, somebody. Can we just stand up on our feet as we pray?